Hello, and thank you for joining us. We are in the breezy Bahamas right now, and we're excited to start back up on our Covert Castaway podcast. We've decided to dedicate this podcast to cruisers we meet along the way, and then share more of our adventures and what's going on our YouTube channel on Sailing Atwin. So you can check that out if you haven't already. So this kicks off our season 8, and we will be starting to share more stories from other cruisers we meet, which are really, really interesting. So thank you for tuning in and continuing to follow us. We are so excited to be back on Covert Castaway talking to other cruisers, and we're going to hear today from Ray and Sarah from Kismet. Hello, and welcome to Covert Castaway. I'm Holly.
Je suis Stéphane.
Join us as we share what we learn and how we're making the transition to live aboard cruising. So first, Stéphane, why don't you set the scene?
Oh man, we're in beautiful Bahamas water, Bahamian waters, I guess. Bahamas in Georgetown. And we just came back from a walk on the beach, and it's just amazing. I think we'll miss that. The sun feels so good.
Best the sand, ever. Yeah, super soft. It's like sugar under your feet, kind of. Yeah, or flour, maybe.
Powdered sugar.
Yeah. So today we're really excited because we have spent the last couple weeks, has it been 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Making new friends, and one of them are Ray and Sarah on Kismet, and we love your story, and we just love you guys already, and we feel like kindred spirits, and I know you guys are taking off tomorrow, so we wanted to kind of capture your story. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about yourselves and where you're from and how long you've been cruising.
Well, we're from Arizona. We have recently retired. Well, I retired 2 years ago. You retired about a year ago, and his dream was to sail. My dream was to travel. So we've been married for 22, 23 years, together about 26 years. So we learned to compromise, and this was the compromise, buying a boat and traveling.
Yeah. So Ray, you want to talk a little bit about what boat you're on and how long you've had it?
So I had a dream of sailing for many, many years, and I've always pictured myself on a smallish monohull. But when I started showing pictures on the internet to Sarah about the boat I was looking at that we could sail around in,
it's always a way. Stéphane kind of started on a monohull too.
Yeah, she put a big kibosh on that. She goes, "I will never get on a sailboat like that with you."
Well, I said that because my mother and my stepfather, he had a monohull, and they were out sailing all the time, and I was on there on their boat at times, and it just didn't suit me.
It didn't resonate with her. It was
too much. At least at that time, and this was, oh my goodness, this was probably about 35, 38 years ago, and it felt like camping to me, especially when my stepdad would always just say, if it's yellow, let it mellow, you know, and those things. I'm like, oh, it was really harder to be on that boat at the time, and I told him, if we're going to do this, I don't want to feel like we're camping.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. And having been on monohulls for long periods of time doing a passage, it's rough on your body.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely know what you mean about the feeling of camping. Like, you could definitely do a trip on a monohull.
Right.
But would you want to live on it? You know, that was kind of a question for me too when we started kind of looking at boats. So definitely.
Yeah. So I started dragging her to the Annapolis Boat Show every year and looking at different boats, and
because that's how it starts.
I know. Every boat she got on, she goes, "No, get on another. How about this one? No." Looking at 40, 50, 55, 60 foot monohulls. No.
Really?
No. And then she looked across the way and she goes, "Oh, what are those over there?" I said, "Those are catamarans and we can't afford those." She goes, "Well, let's just go look." So, of course, after she looked, she goes, "Okay, I could live with you on a catamaran."
Yeah. Definitely.
So we started looking at those and saving our money. And after 5 or 6 years of going to the boat show, we settled on a new design from Leopard, the Leopard 42.
Mm-hmm.
It's their smallest current boat that Leopard's making, but it's very comfortable. It's an owner's version. It's got three cabins, electric heads, you know, solar, lithium, all the modern comforts of home, air conditioning. My wife
yes.
has generator conditioning, generator. Water
compressor,
air compressor, scuba compressor.
And also diving was a thing because I got into, I want to do treasure hunting. So if we go to different dive sites, different places, mm-hmm. we had to have our tanks, our dive gear. Mm-hmm. And I have to constantly thinking about what are we going to do while we're on this boat? So mm-hmm. that was one of them, a dive compressor.
Yeah.
So yeah, it took them 2 years to build it for us, but well, like 22 months, I think. And we picked it up now last August,
mm-hmm.
moved aboard last August.
2023.
We've been living aboard ever since. Came from South Africa. It was put on a big container ship with 15 or 20 other Leopard boats and brought over to Fort Lauderdale. And so we picked it up August 2023 in Fort Lauderdale. We did the handover there. And we've been living aboard ever since.
I have a question about the name. I've been asking myself this question. Where does Kismet come from? In the AIS app, mm-hmm. I saw a lot of Kismet. So
did you really?
Yeah. So what is
the... What's that mean? The meaning means meant to be or destiny or fate. And
it's a Turkish.
It's a Turkish Hebrew. Or Arabic, I think, yeah.
Arabic.
So, and I kind of got a little flack from my Greek side of the family, being that. But so the way our schedules work, our anniversary was coming up,
mm-hmm.
and he had to work on the day of our anniversary. And so I had made reservations for the day after when he got home at our favorite restaurant. And he had made reservations to our favorite same restaurant the day before he worked.
Oh, wow.
And so we told each other this and we said, let's just keep both of them. Let's go to the one that you made because we love this restaurant. And so we went there and he went to work. And then the day that we came back on the day I reserved, we came in and the waitress literally sat us at the same table that we had the day before. As we're sitting down, sitting down, both of us go, man, this is kismet. It was kind of like meant to be that we happened. And we had been going through all different names, but just our life, kind of how we met and everything, it just kind of felt like it was kismet. It was meant to be. We were meant to be together after so many years. And, you know, it's just our families. And it had a deep meaning for us.
Yeah, that's really cool. So did you guys sail before or?
How did you prepare?
Yeah.
Once you picked the boat.
We did not sail before. But, you know, Columbus did it like 500 years ago. How hard could it be?
So we actually did prepare. Once we realized that we were buying this boat and that insurance requires mm-hmm. some training, so we started taking all the ASA courses out in San Diego. We started chartering cats. Once we got those courses under our belt, then we started chartering for a week at a time and just trying to get on board other people's boats as much as possible to learn from them. Just kind of like we've picked your brains on mm-hmm. everything that you've been doing. So we did it that way, but living in Arizona, we're landlocked. Mm-hmm. So we really had to be very creative. We've been to the Bahamas several times up in Abaco chartering boats. So that's basically all we did to mm-hmm. get ready for it. And it was crash course once you got on the boat.
Yeah.
Delivery.
Sometimes I think it's better. I mean, I don't know, everybody, grass is always greener, but when both people and the couple are learning at the same time, versus kind of dealing with the gap. Yeah. I don't know. So how has the experience been so far, the first season?
It's been very interesting. It's quite a steep learning curve. We found it to be quite a steep learning curve.
We all find in the first years.
And I've heard that before. They said, don't judge your sailing experience on your first year because there's so much to learn.
So when we picked up the boat in Fort Lauderdale in August, there were hurricanes chasing us.
And who delivers boats to Fort Lauderdale in the middle of hurricanes?
It seems like a bad idea. Yeah.
Jeez.
So we took delivery of our boat and we had to dragged out of there. I mean, we were feeling the effects of the hurricane as well, because it's not just the hurricane, but it's the wind build. I mean, and we, that first, our first sail up out of Fort Lauderdale and up the coast, because we just, it was overnights that we did.
Yeah.
Overnights. And we've never done overnights before.
Did you have anybody else on board?
Our brother-in-law was with us. So three of us. He's quite, the experienced sailor.
Okay.
So he was the comfort that we had there is, but he really kind of let us deal with everything on our own. Mm-hmm. But after that, I was almost ready to just, we had two dogs on board and it was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I will say that I was about ready to say, we can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. So how did you recover from that first experience? Like what happened to just say, okay, we continue?
Yeah. You know, when the boat first got delivered, it was August in Fort Lauderdale, and we had probably 5 or 6 weeks worth of aftermarket stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And while that work was being done, you know, every afternoon are thunderstorms and, you know, lightning strikes, and even a couple boats in the marina where we're having our work done got struck by lightning around us.
We had a proximity strike.
Yeah, we had a little proximity strike. So that was all very scary. And then when the boat's done, they go, okay, the boat's done and we need to slip, so you have to go. And so we hop aboard and we start heading north.
How did we recover from all that?
No, I know. And it was mostly rough going up the East Coast, but there were some really nice days and evenings as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you have a few of those sprinkled in with the rough times, it's enough to keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we got up to Annapolis, the Annapolis area up in the Chesapeake, we were in a nice marina. Storms were all gone. Weather was nice.
Mm-hmm.
We were plugged in. Everything was working well. And there are other boats out there who just went through the same things we did. And we got to sort of bounce frightening stories off of them. And after a couple of days, you forget that stuff and you look at how awesome.
Yeah. And he hit on a key thing. There are other boats that went through it. We have a buddy boat that, man, if we didn't have them with us either, I think it was the comfort knowing that they're out there as well, because they went through and left with us. And it was just like, we made it. It was like, it was a huge accomplishment that we made it through all this. And, you know, we didn't die at the time, but also having that companionship when you're out there, sailing out there.
Mm-hmm. And I think the first year part of it, what's hard is you don't know what's normal.
Right.
Like, exactly.
Like, is this normal waves, or is this like really big waves, or is this a normal sound on the boat, or is this like something's breaking? Like, you just don't know what normal is.
Exactly. But
I honestly thought, and it seemed to always hit at night, and it was, you know, pounding up and down and left and right, and the dogs are freaking out, they're throwing up, he comes in throwing up, and I honestly think our boat was gonna fall apart. Is this normal? Is things falling off? You know, it just, and at night, it's all worse at night.
Exactly. Fighting
it. It is. Yeah. So do you feel like the good times have kind of, there's been enough in that bucket than in the other bucket?
Or I think so.
I think
there's been now many more good times than those bad times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a, you know, thrown into the fire and skedaddle. There was no opportunity to go slow and sort of get a feel for the boat. We just want to go. And my brother-in-law, he was awesome. He would sleep through all the terrible parts and wake up and go, oh, it's a little rockier than it was when I went to bed. What's going on? So he was a very calming attitude. And then when we got up there, we even talked about how you know, people talk about their boats as she's, and, you know, they become very attached to their boats. And we can see why, because she really, really took care of us when we didn't know what the heck we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said, come on, I got you.
Yeah, that's such a great feeling when you trust your boat and you feel really good about your boat. And
We have another friend that was describing her boat when she was taking classes. And she was, how she described her boat is that the name of their boat that was fighting against us. It was like a horse we're trying to rein in to fight against us. And I thought just the opposite. I said, our girl was fighting for us to get us in, to get where we were going. But I think that's the difference between full-time liveaboards versus somebody who goes on the weekend every once in a while. Because they don't
know the nuances maybe.
I think that, because I thought, wow, our boat really, she took care of us. But I think during that whole process, learning for us to learn how to trust each other and, you know, thinking, I think the first time we chartered and you were able to pull off the dock without anybody helping, I'm like, oh, he learned good. Okay. Good job. I was pleasantly surprised.
Mm. So what are your plans? So you live aboard full time?
Full-time.
Okay. And what are your plans to ultimately, you know, not like next couple of weeks, but like long-term?
Long-term is to get over to the Med. That's my goal. We would love, I love the Bahamas. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. The sand, the ocean is absolutely stunning. But I want to get into more culture. Mm-hmm. I want to get into the history of where we go, learn about the people, learn about where we're at, and enjoy that culture part of it.
The travel part.
The travel part. Yes. There. Yeah. And I'm tapping my fingers. I'm waiting. I know we have to get this experience first.
Yeah, it's good.
And this is a good learning experience here. But ultimately, I'd like to get over into the Med. I know that friends.
So that's your whole destination?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. I mean, there's a ton of stuff in the Med for sure. Yeah.
That's her whole destination.
Well, I mean, Croatia, Italy, France.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's all in the Med. It's awesome. And I want to go there as well. My ultimate destination for me would be the South Pacific. I want to get down to the South Pacific. Mm-hmm. So by the time we're done with those two things, that will have been halfway around the entire world. So
that's amazing. That's great.
Maybe we'll
ultimately told us, so 5 years.
Yeah. Okay.
5 years to stay on the boat. Don't give up. 5 years. And then 5 years, we might be too old to.
Yeah.
No. Nah. I think sailing keeps you young because you're doing things and you're active. And I mean, you guys were pretty, I mean, firefighter and, you know, police investigator, I guess. But, you know, it's.
When we first got on it, though, we were sore.
We
were waking up sore every morning. And it was
is
it going to go away?
Yeah. So a lot of what we talk about in our podcast and in our YouTube channel, which is what we've been kind of focused on recently, is just trying to reset people's expectations about what it's actually like to be on a boat, because I think it's very Instagrammy and there are some fabulous, wonderful things and there are some just kind of crappy things. And so we're trying to communicate the reality of what that's like. Based on your experience so far, what advice would you give people who are just starting out?
Well, somebody gave me some really good advice. My advice is, if you do something on a boat, good or bad, talk about it. Talk about what was the good part about it, what we did very well. And then if something went bad, you know, talk about it, sit down and talk about it. What could we do different? And I think that was the best advice that was given to us by yours truly here.
But the debriefs are just, I mean, it changes completely because we were trying to be like, okay, what did we learn from this really crappy thing we just did?
Yes.
And whether it's how to communicate or how to do the maneuver. And I mean, it's really helpful.
I think the toughest thing about being on a boat is living in a confined space when you're not used to that. And it magnifies if you have any issues in your marriage or your relationship. It magnifies that and it brings it out. And so that's also been a huge thing we've had to work through is that trust factor. Mm-hmm. I got to trust him that he kind of knows what he's doing. and he has to trust me that I can do this. And a lot of times I think that trust doesn't come back on me a lot. He still is in that protective mode.
Well, it's protective. I think men, you guys can comment after I'm done saying it, but I think men have a tendency to, they want to be sure that they know what to do and before they ask someone else to do something. And so I think if they're learning something new, it's uncomfortable, right, you know, to kind of let go of that a little bit just because it's a protective nature thing. I don't know. What do you think, Ray?
I agree. It's, you know, and the way I look at it is like all the things I love the most in the world, this small little vessel with me. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure that, you know, things go as absolutely well as possible.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of responsibility, yeah, probably, that you feel.
Like a lot, yeah.
Yeah. I remember that first year with a new boat. Like, it's now, it's your home. It's a lot of money invested in it. And then you're afraid of like another boat hitting you. Mm-hmm. And now you've been hit twice. And you realize the boat is not going to fall apart.
Mm. Yeah.
It hurts you, your body's hurt, but you're like, wow, these boats are solid. So it's like, okay, when we come close to another boat, like, you know, or something with bad to happen, it's like, I know the first year I was like putting a lot of pressure on myself. And then second year was like, okay, it's not going to be that bad. Of course, we want to avoid any.
Yeah, avoid what you can. But
when you're an anchorage, you're like always worrying. And I stopped to worry so much. And and then, yeah, in the first year too, I remember Holly's mom says, are you going to keep my daughter safe? So you're like, you say yes, but you always kind of remember that in the back of your head. So as you do things, you mean, you want to make sure you protect your boat, you know, your home, and at the same time, the people. So it feels like added pressure for sure. Mm-hmm. And then over time, it just kind of dissipates a little bit.
Ray, what about you? What advice would you give people?
What advice would I give somebody? I think to temper your expectations and just go slow. You don't have to be a ocean racer the minute you step on your boat and, you know, head out there.
Even if you are an ocean racer.
Even if you are an ocean racer. But, you know, small day hops, pick good weather windows, try to travel when the weather's good, you know, and just go slow. There's a lot to learn. You're not going to learn it all in a short amount of time. It takes a while. And, you know, especially if you have your wife or your family who maybe is less enthusiastic or experienced, you don't want to scare the crap out of them. And then they never want to go anywhere or do anything. So I would just say go slow and give yourself a break, man.
Yeah. And definitely, I think it's important. And we heard from a lot of different couples over the years. It's never good for if it's the man's dream that is the seed idea. And then the man or the woman, for that matter, is sort of saying, oh, it's great. It's wonderful. It's just not, because you're kind of trying to downplay it because you want to kind of pull the person in. It's not really fair because they're not getting full disclosure about like what it's really like. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you need to know what it's really like, but then you need to know, but we're not going to do that all at once. Like, you know, it's managed risk. You're not like diving in the deep end. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I think my expectations were a little bit more realistic than my husband's dream. He dreamed of a boat. No, seriously, he had this dream for I don't know how many years, and I think it was romanticized. Mm. You know, all the videos he watched. Mm.
And sailing can be that way.
Yeah, it can. Yeah. And I think I have to remind him every once in a while. I go, this is boat life.
Yeah,
this is boat life.
When I'm upside down, standing on my head in a locker, trying to chase down an electrical short of some sort.
Yeah.
Boat life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we close, so what's your favorite part? And then what is absolutely the thing you can do without?
My favorite part is actually meeting people. Our background is such that it wasn't always pleasant to be interacting with people, and to see that there's actually really good people out there, and the sailing community is such a supportive community. Mm-hmm. And you don't really have that anywhere. I mean,
so
you,
true.
You have in other communities, but this one, everybody comes together to help. You know, yeah. Somebody puts out a call for it. And that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
To meet the new people. And I could do without I don't know, what could we do without?
Constant, terrible weather. Would be nice.
Watching just the weather constantly.
Yeah, just a few days of beautiful, balmy breezes would be awesome. But apparently that never happened.
Yeah, we're on a boat now. You run into some background. One, I think there's a dinghy parade over on the beach there. They're making like a bonfire, so a lot of dinghies are going by, but there's some wind. We have 20 knots, I guess, so we're at this anchorage. And it's
I mean, the wife and I don't always agree on things, but I would have to agree that meeting new folks and other sailors who are sort of going through the same thing, and even super experienced ones who have stories about going through what you're going through, has been awesome. Mm-hmm. I originally got on a boat to get away from people. I don't really like it, but it has been the best part
of it. It's true. It's like
sailing.
Really awesome people are all living on boats. Yeah. So I think that's kind of part of it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I know we're parting ways tomorrow, so we're going to miss you guys, and we'll see you around, I'm sure, in the Caribbean, maybe next season.
Next season, we'll be there.
Yeah. And we might pop by
online.
You know.
That's the other fun part.
Come by Tahoe. You're welcome. Very cool. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you.